A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter, for instance, Steve Mackinnon does a great job of this. Compares the characteristics of past Super Bowl champions to this year's playoff teams. Is that accurate there, Kelly? I think that's a phenomenal sort of exercise to go through. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox, absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. I like that kind of similar traits kind of thing.
Yeah, same characteristics as previous Super Bowl winners.
Exactly. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. This is from David Berliner talking about what we were talking about. Post-game rants. He said, I'd submit Dan Hawkins from Colorado. It's the Big 12. Go play intramurals, brother. Primetime Cowboys _Cubs1. Funny that you mentioned it, but I'm fond of Jason Weingarten's ability to see through the cloud of smoke and see the good in U.S. postal workers everywhere. Please tell us he has a good story for us today from his escapades to the post office recently. I hope he does. Yeah, again, he has one that you can't share on air. That's just spectacular. But
I mean,
hopefully
he's there every other day. So, PG. Yeah.
Can we talk about this for a second?
He's probably been there four times since we last had him on.
Jason sent me. He's like, yeah, I was just at the post office. I was like, Jason, why are you always at the post office? And he goes, oh, I send like 100 packages a month, probably. I go, 100 packages? What are you doing? What is it? Like collectibles? He goes, mostly model airplanes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Model airplane.
That's the thing. That's the thing with Jason.
Are you buying or selling? He goes, mostly selling. Okay. This is from...
Yeah, we'll have to ask him about that. How does that work? You buy it, you put it together, you glue it together, and then you sell it?
You're asking me. What do you think I do after
this? What is that? That's like buying a jigsaw puzzle and having someone put it together for you, and then you buying it from
them. A 10-year-old boy, he was at the Friars Club. Mike Alvarez. We think that Coach's English is very, very well. Signed, mine and Gil's dad's. You better don't call zero fouls on Scotty. Barnes next game, Scott, New York Mets 16. When Rajakovic and Scotty Barnes said Scotty Barnes goes to the rim and falls down, quote, without flopping, unquote. I wonder if he had anyone in particular in mind. And Len Glauzenski, Gil, that spot about the Raptors coach was hilarious. I follow international basketball. These international coaches take the game serious. Best spot of the interview. Just call us up and we will forfeit the game. That was great, Lenny.
I love the part you pointed out of the let me look and check his last name, because the Raptors, if you haven't been keeping up with the NBA, are currently in the process of basically resetting their team and rebuilding around.
That's right.
One Scotty Barnes
traded Ananobi.
Traded OG Ananobi. Pirtle just went down with an injury. Everybody expects Siakam to be moved here at some point. So it's so great when you're building around a guy and you have to be like, Scotty, just name again Barnes. That's what we're doing here.
We have star players on our team as well. How's possible, Scotty Barnes? Will Hill joins us now, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter at @NotTheWillHill. He is not only the star of the Megapod, which we're recording today with Mr. Dr. Eric Eager, but also a star of the Bear Bets Pods, which he does with Chris Felica. Chris Felica's Pods, college and pro football versions over at Fox Sports. Will joins us now. How you doing, Will? You got your own podcast now, don't you?
I do, and good thing, keep reminding me that we're recording today, because I'm a schedule guy, I'm a routine guy, so the fact that we're on Wednesday, I need to be reminded every couple of minutes or
me
so.
Too.
A couple things. Your Gilbert Godfrey impersonation could use a little bit of work. Maybe we'll get to that on Megapod. Sorry. Maybe Wishnev can do one. Maybe
apologies.
Wishnev and I can have a little Gilbert Godfrey impression competition on the Megapod, and you're so right about the press conferences. Like, they used to be so much more entertaining. I know people have, like, you know, they glorify the past, but I remember growing up as a kid in the 90s, the coaches, especially in the NFL, were so much more colorful, like Parcells and Jim Mora, and then you mentioned Denny Green, like Dick, these guys. Like, the press conference would be almost as good as the game, where they flip out about the refs, their team, whatever, and they'd be honest and they'd give you these sound clips. We really don't get that anymore. A lot of these newer guys, these younger guys, are more buttoned up.
They really are. And it's the Belichickian way, isn't it? Right. We're on to Cincinnati, which is the best thing he ever gave us. We're on to Cincinnati over and over. But that's how it is now. Sadly. I mean, the Dan Campbell opener, right, where he said we're going to bite kneecaps, comes to mind as a more recent thing. But yeah, other than that, nothing really does. Where did you
one of the underlines in the Mora, like everyone talks about playoffs, and that's like the highlight of that rant. He goes, I just hope we can win another game. Like, he's just ripping his team.
Yeah. But as we pointed out yesterday with Iverson, he now laments the fact that that is what, you know, he had this span, his Hall of Fame, fantastic career. And this was a moment in his life where someone close to him had died and he was getting all this incoming about missing a practice. And he hates that that's lost in it. And he hates that also from across the street when people see him, they'll be like, hey, playoffs, right? You know, or not playoffs, but they'll be like,
hey, it's funny what sticks and what doesn't.
Yeah. All right. So wild card week. This has been pretty interesting. Just anecdotally, people are kind of all over the place, except for the Kansas City Miami game. Feels like everybody is playing the and correctly so, by the way. It's justifiable. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. It may very well manifest, which is, look, they're from Miami to begin with, and they're going to play in what might be one of the coldest games ever in the NFL in history. It's where Celsius and Fahrenheit meet at 0 degrees. It might feel even colder than that. And then you have, I mean, almost half of the Dolphins defense gone. Bradley Chubb with the ACL, Jalen Phillips with the Achilles, Xavien Howard is going to be out for this game with the ankle, Van Ginkle with the foot. Who am I forgetting? Baker with the foot injury as well. Where do you stand on that game? Where do you stand on the others?
With everybody else, I like the Chiefs. I just think Tua has two fatal flaws. He struggles with pressure. He struggles with the cold, and he's going to get a lot of both. I think Spagnuolo will know how to bring pressure. I just think like the jury, the verdict is in here with Tua. And I just think like, you know, he's in the same camp. I compare him to Trevor Lawrence, where it's like, all right, we don't have that many good quarterbacks in this league. Do you really want to just kick him to the curb? He's probably top 8, top 10, top 12, whatever quarterback, but man, you're going to pay that guy, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, you're going to pay these guys a lot of money. I don't know about that. I just think the Chiefs, look, we know it's not their best team. We know they're diminished at receiver. To me, this is a good spot for the Chiefs. Remember, it's a short week for Miami, too. They have to play Sunday night. Now they turn around and play Saturday. So I like the Chiefs. Let me ask you this, you know, mentioning Lawrence and Tua, it brought something to mind because I was listening the other day and I meant to text you. I was like, you know what? I'll just save it for the show or the Megapod. Bill Simmons on his podcast, you know, he likes to bring up these hypothetical trades. He brought up a trade, and it's just more of a thought exercise, but Trevor Lawrence to Washington for the number 2 overall pick. Who says no? I thought that was interesting. What would you do there?
Skit and say no. Washington says no.
Wow.
Washington says no, and kind of quickly, I think, actually.
That's interesting. I don't love Lawrence. I've been in your camp where it's like, let's see if he's really this guy, and he's completely not going to be, you know, the guy we expected, this generational player, but he is still pretty good, and it's hard to find core. I don't know. It's interesting. I at least thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question you have to ask, right? It's sort of like, okay, well, he makes us better for sure. Does he win us Super Bowls? You know, which is just ultimately the only question that has to ask. Okay, besides the Kansas City Miami game, what do you feel most strongly about?
My favorite bet of the weekend is Cowboys team total over 30.5. I just think at home they're a machine. They average 37.5 points a game. Green Bay's a middle of the pack defense. And if you look at Green Bay, their stats are mediocre, and you examine their schedule even further, they have not played a lot of good offenses. There aren't a lot of good offenses in the league, and the few good ones they haven't had to play. They haven't had to play the Ravens. They haven't had to play the Cowboys. They haven't had to play the 49ers. They haven't had to play the Bills. They've had a pretty soft schedule of opposing quarterbacks, so I think that defense is in for a long day. So to me, the team total over in the Cowboys is the way to play it. That's 7.5. That hook scares me, especially, you know, Love and those receivers. If you're down 14 or so, the back door is open. I just think the Cowboys getting into like the mid 30s is the way to play this. I think they're going to get their points indoors, at home, good environment. Cowboys are going to score a bunch here.
I was once violently disagreed with, I quote, violently disagreed with on this network for misinterpreting crosswinds versus trade winds in the stadium in Buffalo. We might have that situation. And if we do, isn't 10 points against anyone too many?
Yeah, it is. I think that open 9.5, I think it got bumped to 10 because they probably got buried with a bunch of 7-point teaser money on Buffalo, which, again, makes some sense. I mean, you get them under the 3 and you just basically have to win the game. That I can get. So you probably just jacked it up knowing people are going to bet the Bills. People are going to tease the Bills. So that's probably a little bit inflated. I agree. I mean, Buffalo, they win. It's amazing they won all these games. Kansas City, Dallas, they run the table. They don't leave you with a great feeling. They leave you feeling kind of lukewarm, even winning the other night against Miami, the Charger game, the Patriot game. They just, I don't know, there's something missing with them. I agree. I can't lay 10 with this team. It would be Steelers or nothing.
So the lowest seed, in your opinion, that will win outright this weekend will be AFC or NFC?
Lowest seed that one. I'll go Browns.
Browns. So not Rams at six. Browns at five AFC.
Rams are a little too trendy for me. Detroit, I think Detroit's the better team. I think Detroit's being overlooked a little bit here, where Detroit's a play away from like being the two seed. They've been the better team all year. They're home. I think Detroit's being a little discounted.
I think that's a good point. I think they are, even, and I'm a guy who hasn't had them higher than ninth power rank, but I think there is a little bit of a feeling of that. All right, the name of the podcast is Shoulda Bet More.
Shoulda Bet More had Steve Fezzik to break down all the wild card games, and he gave tips on how to save money in Vegas, how to drink for free, how to eat for free, how to get comps. It was incredible.
He is the maestro of such things. He is. Will Hill, everybody, and not the Will Hill. Hey, Will, don't forget we have a podcast after this show.
What time?
9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern.
Okay.
All right. He'll be there. Thank you, Will. Frank Schwab joins us from Yahoo, gives his wild card thoughts next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All from Bar Canada at the D. Bar Canada, the barrage. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Get his wild card week picks. Frank Schwab. We're still efforting Frank Schwab from Yahoo, maybe?
Yep.
All right, we're efforting. Mike Pritchard will join us here momentarily. I just wanted to read this one tweet because we were talking about the draft and what teams ought to do at the top of the draft. This is from, I want to get this right. This is from Terry Ray. Terry Ray at Vegas. Terry Ray says, as Brent Musburger said, he goes, on these first round quarterbacks, don't do it at all. History clearly shows the smart percentage play to take quarterbacks in later rounds. Don't waste a first round pick on a quarterback. Well, you know, my reaction to that is that's an interesting play, but I think Tom Brady has skewed that so much that we may not be thinking clearly about quarterbacks specifically. And even if you just go back at, let's just take the past Super Bowl winners in reverse order, Mahomes first round, Stafford first round, first pick, by the way, Tom Brady, again, throw him to the side. Mahomes before that. Brady before that. The Nick Foles, Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was a first-round pick, but that was an anomalous year.
What a weird year. Don't you think that when you look, like, think of that season now? Just of...
Oh, everything about it was weird.
Right, yeah.
Even my thing where I talk about, you know, you either win a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback who overperforms the contract, a quarterback who overperforms the rookie contract or a Hall of Famer, that's the one year you have to throw in. That doesn't really count because Carson Wentz got hurt.
Right.
You have to put an asterisk by that year. And they used replay rules from the future, as Philly fans love for me to remind them. Before that, Brady. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick, so that's another guy.
He was third, not a second.
Russell Wilson, I jumped ahead of you. He was a third, yeah. But in between, Peyton Manning first round. There was Brady again. Joe Flacco was a number one. Eli Manning was a number one. Aaron Rodgers was a number one first round draft pick. Not number one, but first round draft pick. And on and on and on. So I don't know that that holds up. Because Tom Brady has sort of skewed that number so much that that's how you can get anybody in the later rounds. I think you can get running backs in later rounds as reliably. Brock Purdy may buck that. We'll see. But yes, to your overall point, Terry, that we are talking about an inexact science, the most inexact science there is. And this is why I say with Washington at two, if they're not sure if they have everybody equally rated, maybe they just say, hey, if the Bears draft, we'll just draft another guy. But you'd hope that evaluators, this is the hope, and I say this with tongue in cheek because I know it's often not realized. The hope is that these talent evaluators can properly, judge a quarterback from the college game to the pro game, and it is the most difficult thing in the world, as our buddy Dr. Bob says. The only thing you can really project is accuracy with any kind of reliability, and then you have a Josh Allen case where then he sort of strangely bucks that as well. Mike Pritchard joins us. He's actually played the game. He knows more about all this than any of us. He was a first-round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons back in 1991 and a national champion at Colorado. He joins us now, Mike Pritchard, from his lair here in the Valley. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Great discussion right there. I love that. It's always a debate, too.
It's always a debate. And just your, I mean, you've been in the room with these talent evaluators. It is the most inexact science there is, right? Like, that's the issue with this. No one really knows anything for sure. And that's the rub.
Right. That is the rub. I mean, I think if you have time, and what I mean by that, for instance, Patrick Mahomes, they had time for him to sit because they had Alex Smith, right? And they already had a playoff caliber roster with Patrick Mahomes, or as he matured and became what he is now. Tom Brady, you know, that situation, it allows you to build around him and certainly establish a certain culture. And then it gives Tom Brady time to do what he needed to do, or become what he needs to become. Oftentimes when you're picking at the top of the draft, the Baker Mayfields, the Sam Darnolds, those type of players, the Josh Rosens, the teams that they go to are horrible. And those teams don't have any type of blueprint, or they don't have any type of notion of how to build a Super Bowl caliber team. And that's why a lot of those guys flame out. But a lot of the guys that you mentioned, the Eli Mannings, even Peyton, I mean, Peyton threw 28 interceptions his rookie year, right? If he did that today, I don't know how much time they would give Peyton Manning to develop into a Hall of Famer. Brett Favre, you mentioned him, got to the right situation at the very beginning of his career. Nobody could imagine outside of Brett Favre that he would turn into a Hall of Famer.
You played with him in Atlanta. Yeah, you of all people couldn't imagine it. And then the biggest example of all that is Troy Aikman, right? Going 1-15 first year with the Cowboys. I mean, good God, if that were today, could you imagine Twitter on Aikman and the Cowboys going 1-15?
Yeah. Can I ask Mike about Favre more? Brett Favre, so fascinating to me. Mike, like, what was the talk like around, like, the receivers and tight ends, like, with Favre coming up? Because, like, with Josh Allen, we've talked about it for years, but, like, were you like, man, this guy's going to be great? Or you're like, man, this guy can't hit anything down the field. He's so inaccurate.
And let's just give context. He was a rookie with the Falcons in Pritch's. Was he a rookie in 91? Yeah, I believe so,
rookie.
Too.
Yeah, we came in together. Yeah. The thing about Brett, I caught two touchdown passes in our first preseason game that we started against the Rams. I caught another one later on after Brett left the game. But, you loved his competitiveness. You loved his enthusiasm for the game, and you absolutely loved his arm. Like I said, the ball would get to you. It didn't matter where you were or what kind of separation you got on your routes. You knew the ball was coming your way from Brett Favre, and you had a chance to do some things with it, right? The only thing about Brett is that you could see him go the other way once Jerry Glanville wasn't going to give him an opportunity. If Jerry Glanville would have given him an opportunity to turn into or develop into a great quarterback, I think Atlanta would have saw the greatness. But Chris Miller was a Pro Bowl quarterback at the time, and certainly Glanville wanted to ride that. We went to the playoffs my rookie year with Chris Miller. So I understand the decision there. But Brett, if you talk to him at that point, Kelly, he would have told you he was going to be the best quarterback to ever play the game. He was driven that much. He was. He was. And all he was looking for was the right opportunity. So going to Green Bay, where all he could do was focus on football, no distractions, and then turn himself into one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. I mean, that's all you need to know about Brett Favre. The guy was clearly driven by a lot of factors to play at a high level.
Let's get to Wild Card Weekend, Pritch. I know we don't, on a weekly basis, we don't usually dive into individual games with you. But as you look at this group of six,
yeah,
what's the one for you where you're like, oh, I can see this happening totally? Like, what's the one that really leaps to mind for you?
Well, I'm wondering if it's too many points with Buffalo and Pittsburgh. You got to factor in weather. You got to factor in Buffalo's performances in playoffs recently. They have become more physical. I like that. They have addressed their situation where they can run the football. But they're running it not only with Cook, who's been amazing this year, but also with Josh Allen too, right? That's also helped them get to more play action, what they need. But Gabe Davis being out, okay, with the weather, okay, they got two dominant tight ends. If Pittsburgh can match them from a physicality standpoint, possess the football offensively, like they have been doing, you know, that gets interesting. The total indicates that a little bit. So I'm just curious if that's too many points right there. And then outside of CJ Stroud, and I mean, we know about Flacco and how amazing he's been, and Certainly there's no pressure on him, right? And can he go on this run with Cleveland laying 2.5 on the road? It's all about individual matchups, as you guys know, in the playoffs. And, you know, I throw scheme out the window. But C.J. Stroud throwing for over 4,100 yards and only 5 INTs.
Amazing.
I mean, this guy as a rookie has so much poise. And I wouldn't sleep on D'Amico Ryans in that defense. I mean, they're just outside the top 10 from a scoring defense standpoint. So that game gets interesting to me as well.
Yeah, a lot of people on that Browns bandwagon, but that would that would be a tough end for those folks. But I don't think it's an impossibility at all. And certainly the line reflects that. Let me ask this. Miami going into Kansas City, where the temperature is going to be so cold. I remember my freshman and senior year in college in Boston. I remember we had like negative 40 wind chill. And I just remember what that felt like. This is supposed to be like negative 20 wind chill. Do you buy into the whole they're in warm weather in Miami? They're not used to this weather. And so it has this overly detrimental effect on a team from a warm weather city. Do you buy into that?
I do. I do. I mean, you know, you are who you are in terms of the weather, the climate. You can't help that, right? If you're a dome team, you're a dome team. Can you play in the elements? We'll find out. Those kind of things. Like, you know, they're not practicing in this, right? Gil and Kelly, they're not. Miami's not practicing or getting used to this, whereas Kansas City is. I mean, there's a difference. And then, you know, the injuries or the pain factor, you know, that increases with cold weather.
Oh, like, yes, it
you
does.
Know, you think of, right. We've all done that. We've all stepped outside and it's cold and, oh my God, that hurts right there. But, you know, Tyreek Hill with the ankle, I wonder what that's going to do. And, you know, all the ailments that the Dolphins have, they're going to feel it more and more in this game. And so, you know, mind can play tricks on you. If you don't have that willingness to suck it up and get through the elements and certainly get through the pain, then you're going to succumb to the opponent. I think Kansas City will try to be as physical as possible. They're not revved up offensively, though. They're not revved up offensively. So I haven't really did a deep dive on this one yet. The spread right here at 4, it is interesting a little bit, but certainly looking at Miami in terms of can they get through this with the elements and certainly that pain factor from all the injuries.
And 5 defensive starters that will not be there. 5. Right. It's brutal. Right. Pritch, enjoy the games. Always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Always my pleasure. You guys have a great day. Thanks a lot.
At M.I. Pritchard, VSiN's own Mike Pritchard. We'll come back. We'll talk about, yesterday we talked about most receiving yards, most rushing yards.
Frank Schwab might join us, too.
Frank Schwab, too. We'll do highest scoring team in the NFL postseason as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge through the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl, and I know you are, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. Sign up today. Get your first 30 days for only $9.99 to see everything that VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book, or at Beating the Book, rather. What did I say? Beating the Book. Scola has a tweet for you, Kelly, where he says, Kelly, Grandpa Pritch, tell me how it was to play with Favre. And he has a gif of going like this. Hey, tell me. Story time. Let's see here. Drew from Boise. Boise in the house. Good morning, Gil and Kelly. A possible quarterback drafting analog. Draft a quarterback in later rounds every year in search of Brady, Montana, Wilson, Purdy, etc. You get a practice player and perhaps something else. Again, if you go back to Super Bowl winners, if you throw Brady out, it's primarily first-round draft picks. John Balducci. Yeah, buddy, Pritch dropping that he caught 3 touchdowns in a game once. Classic.
Definitely the bell rang in my head too, John. I was like, yeah, that's about as big of a humble brag as you're going to get out of Mike Pritchard.
And Sean Fox plays. 8 of those free throws in that Raptors game were intentional, though. People are pointing that out about the rant from Darko Rajakovic. This is shame. That, in fact, it's not as bad as he was making it out to be. But, it, I mean, 23 free throws in the fourth quarter, 19-0 in the final 4 minutes. Come on. Part of that is we have star players on our team as well. How's possible, Scotty?
Barnes. Check last name. I mean, in total free throws, 13 for the Raptors for the entirety of the game. Yeah, 36 for the Lakers.
Come on now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he joins us now from Yahoo. It's the great Frank Schwab to talk Wild Card Weekend. How you doing, Frank?
Good. Can you do this whole segment in that Russian accent?
That the Serbian accent.
Serbian, yeah. Sorry, I should specify.
Frank, it's a complete crap, he said. It's a complete crap. That's my favorite part.
Yeah. It happens sometimes in the NBA, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, a couple times. A couple times it happens in the NBA. All right, I'm going to start with the Megapod question. So we'll start in the reverse order. If we lived in a bizarro world and you had to play a side in five of these six games, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, but you wanted no part of one, what's the game you want no part of on the side?
I assume my answer is the same as everybody else's, and it's the last one. What do you make of the Eagles at this point? But could you possibly take the Buccaneers? I don't know. Both of these teams just seem really broken right now. The Eagles really broken. Over the last six games, the Eagles are one of the five worst teams of football. I mean, that sounds crazy to say, but they're 1-5. They've lost to bad teams. They've been blown out. They were blown out by a bad team in the final game. And they just have the look of a team that doesn't want to play anymore. They just hate each other. They just want to get out of this season. Let's be done with it. That's how bad they look. But then you look at the Buccaneers, and how do you trust them? If you count out, you know, if you take out garbage time in week 17 against the Saints, they basically haven't scored an offensive touchdown in 2 weeks. Baker Mayfield, every time I see Baker Mayfield on my screen, he's limping or he's holding his ribs, or you just wonder. Baker's had a great season, but you wonder how healthy he is at the end of the year. So
totally.
I don't know what to make of either of these teams. I can't. How could you pick the Eagles as a 3-point favorite on the road? But how could you pick against the Eagles against the Buccaneers? I gotta pass that game if it's one of them.
Yeah, my line for that game has been like, I have to believe the Eagles can cover this, right? Like, sure. I have to believe that. I say right with a question mark at the end. My handicaps for a few of these games are super like simplistic. One with like the Steelers and the Bills, I'm like, okay, that's a lot of wind for 10. And then the Chiefs and the Dolphins, I see too many outcomes to even want to get involved. What do you like the most of all of these games?
Yeah, and you know what? I actually heard you talk on Guessing Lines about, and it really popped in my head of, who are the Chiefs to be giving more than 3 to anybody, especially the Dolphins, who are a pretty good team. That's been in the back of my mind, and I think we've kind of underestimated the losses of Mostert and Waddle. Like that didn't matter. It just hasn't been a big deal, but it is a big deal. We're not making it into a big deal. Mostert was an engine for their offense all season. Achan's really good, but he's not a workhorse. And then Waddle, I mean, it just changes the offense when he's not in there. But enough about that game, because that's not the one I like the most. I like the Rams the most. I just think that this Lions team, I don't think LaPorta is going to answer the bell, unfortunately. And that's a big part of their offense. But more than that, it's their defense that bothers me. This is a team that gave up almost 800 yards to Nick Mullins in two of the last 3 weeks. Okay. This secondary is not playing well at all. If Aiden Hutchinson doesn't get home, their defense really, really struggles. And the Rams with arrested Stafford, rested Cup, Puka Nacua has been awesome. I mean, I see Stafford having a really big day back in Detroit. McVay is my coach of the year, if I had a vote, which I don't anymore. And I just see the Rams easily give me the 3, but I'll probably just take the money line.
Do they take your vote away from you, Frank? How does that go down? What happens?
I only voted once. It was great, though. I enjoyed voting. It was a long time ago. I don't vote anymore. I just complain about voters now and their predictable path.
I was like, do you get a strongly worded email where they're like, we didn't think your votes were very good. You're gone.
No, my vote was great. I voted for Drew Brees for MVP back in the day. He should have got at least one, right? You know.
Okay. Yeah, by the way, Mostert and Waddle expected to be back for the Dolphins, as many of the injuries that they have on defense, which they do, as we've talked about, five starters down, they will have their full offense ready to go in Kansas City. Okay, let's talk about a couple games we haven't gotten to. Green Bay and Dallas. That's a big spread, too. It's 7.5. My initial reaction was this was much shorter than I thought it would be. Are the Packers, forget the cover, are the Packers in any way, in your opinion, live to win this outright? Or I keep in my mind's eye, it's sort of the Malcolm Gladwell blink thing. I sort of think about the teams walking off the field at the end of this and the announcers saying some version of, well, it was still a great season for the Packers and they're just thrilled to have been here kind of thing.
That's where I am with the Packers. I will say this. They're a different team with Aaron Jones. Just watching A.J. Dillon waste, you know, handoffs over and over and over, it was just hard to watch. And Aaron Jones, since he's been back, three straight 100-yard games, three straight 110-yard games. He's looked really good, really fresh. He adds a different dimension to that team. But at the end of the day, look, logically, this doesn't make sense, but it's a thing. We almost have to treat the Cowboys as two different teams. We have the home Cowboys, we have the road Cowboys, yeah. Right? Like, we've all talked about this a million times. This is the home Cowboys. They are awesome in Dallas or Arlington or wherever the heck they are. And I just can't go against them. I think even at the spread it's at, I'll go with the Cowboys. Not feeling great about going more than a touchdown because Jordan Love is playing well. Like I said, Aaron Jones adds something to their offense. Jair Alexander hopefully didn't try to take the coin toss and get himself suspended last week. So, but I just think the Cowboys at home are a different team, and you have to treat them as two different teams, basically.
What's the, and this is an anecdotal question, but as you've been listening to folks talk about these games, what's the narrative that you're not buying, that you've heard the most, where you're like, I don't know about that. I'm hearing a lot of this and I'm not buying into it for any of these games.
Boy, I don't know. There's nothing that sticks out to me, Gil. I'll say that. Like, I mean, I guess if you're going to one, it's just that the Bills are all the way back, but the Bills play down to their competition too. We saw that in week 16 and 17. You put this 10 point number out there, and the weather is a big reason I'm going to be on the Steelers, but it also is that the Bills just don't, they played down to their competition. Even last week, they didn't blow out the Dolphins. They needed a 96-yard punt return to turn around that game. I had a lot of Bills AFC East futures, and I was like, I can't believe I'm going to lose this. They didn't play well in that game at all. So I think this notion that, and I like the Bills, their upside is Super Bowl champions. They're that good. But this notion that, hey, the Bills are just a juggernaut, they're rolling through everybody. Well, that really didn't happen in week 16 and 17 against inferior competition. Didn't happen in week 18 until they got a punt return. So maybe this notion that the Bills are just going to roll through the Steelers is the one that I push back on a little bit, because that really hasn't been the case the last three weeks for Buffalo.
And what about the first game that kicks off the weekend? I got a little love for the Texans from Mike Pritchard before you came on. It's the old Texans historical playoff wildcard weekend time slot, and they're the home dogs here. A lot of people say the Browns are the answer to their question. Hey, if you see the Ravens being toppled, what's the team that could do it? They go with the Browns. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, and it's hard to go against. But by the way, 7 out of 7 for the Texans in that Saturday afternoon slot.
That's amazing.
Incredible. It's an amazing stat. I had to look it up. I was like, this can't be right. I had to research it. But I think, CJ Stroud's awesome. Like, he's had the greatest rookie season of any quarterback we've seen. I'll die on that hill, and I think there's many people with me. But this Browns defense is nasty. I did agree with you. Again, I listened to Guessing Lines the other day when you were talking about, do we really think Joe Flacco is not going to have one bad game? Like, I was nodding my head like, yeah, we could see it happening, but I don't think it happens here. We saw them kind of torch the Texans, especially Amari Cooper a few weeks ago, even though, the Texans didn't have Stroud in that game. Their defense was playing normally and they just didn't have an answer for Cleveland. I trust, out of all the things in this game, I trust Cleveland's defense the most, even against a great quarterback Stroud. He's already great. I love him, but I think there's a tough spot for him against that Browns defense. I'll be on the Browns as a road favorite. The Texans are on house money at this point. Nobody expected them to make the playoffs. Nobody expected them to win the division. Pretty good for them to be there, but I think the Browns get them on Saturday.
All right, but you're on record. Rams are your favorite of the bunch.
Of the bunch, yes. Rams +3. Just Rams money line. Let's go.
Let's go. Frank Schwab from Yahoo. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. I always appreciate it.
Frank Schwab, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll come back with Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, his wild card plays on the other side. Coming back.